Hello, welcome to the Live Richly call. We have these calls the first three Tuesdays of each month, and they last for 30 minutes now, and they start at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And today is April 3rd. I can't believe it's April already. Oh, my gosh. And my name is Leslie Cunningham, and I am with SpringWindCoaching.com. And if you'd like to get more information about these calls, you can click on the free, then click on Live Richly calls. And I also have some great information on the free resource page, information like how to locate great credit card offers, how to determine your net worth. What else do I have on there? Just some really fantastic tools for, like credit card calculators and mortgage calculators, things like that. So definitely check out the free resource page of my. I begin this call by just saying, why is it that we have these calls? And, you know, our schedules are busy. We have many things that we're doing throughout the week. Why bother to take time out of our busy schedule to join these calls? And the reason that we have these calls is to help. They're designed to empower you and give you this rich life in terms of your finances, your relationship with your partner, living life the way that you want, and slowing down and making time for the things that really matter. Because let's face it, if we're stressed out and trying to make more money and we're carrying too much debt, we're not making the income that we desire, and we have too many bills coming in, we're consistently overspending and blowing our budgets, then we're not living a quality, rich life. And when we live this kind of life, we have the stability that we're looking for. And even an even bigger way as far as why we join these calls is because it helps us learn how to work with our partners instead of against our partners. And we are able to start trusting our partners and ourselves with our habits around money and how we handle money. So today is a topic that I'm really passionate and excited about, and it's a topic that I'm very, very passionate about. And title of this call is Getting a Life and Investing in Yourself. And if any of you are familiar with the movie The Emperor's Club, it actually came out, oh gosh, I don't know how long ago it came out, but my husband and I rented it a few months ago. And Kevin Kline plays the leading role in this Hubbard. And the movie opens up, the opening scenes in the movie are Mr. Hubbard, the character Mr. Hubbard, rowing on a lake. And his opening lines go something like this. As I've gotten old, I am certain of two things. Days that begin with rowing on the lake are better than days that do not. And a man's character determines his fate. So I actually wrote a newsletter around this ago, and I have thought about these opening lines many times when I've gone for an early morning run or hike or when I've been skiing. And, you know, it's this concept of, you know, this idea of days that begin with rowing on the lake are better than days that do not. So what is this really saying? To me, this is really saying invest in yourself first. And what does that mean? Well, to give a really simple and powerful metaphor, it's like putting on your own, you know, attendance, come on the intercom, and, you know, we're all usually reading our books or talking to our partner, doing our own thing. And what is the number one thing that the flight attendants always tell you about the oxygen masks? They tell you to put on your own oxygen mask first before assisting anybody else. And this concept applies to our businesses as well and to our life. And the first step to getting a life and investing in ourselves is through putting on our own oxygen mask first. So what does that mean? What are the ways that we can take care of ourselves first in our lives? Because, and why do we want to do that? Well, if we've taken care of ourselves, then we're able to better serve our careers, our businesses, ourselves, which allows us to be there for our partners and our children and the relationships in our life and the things that are big. Now, many of us struggle with this concept of investing in ourselves. You know, it's all too common. We hear, you know, our friends, our partners, everybody these days are, it seems like everybody's complaining about having enough time. So we all struggle with this. And, you know, it seems like maybe we have the best intentions, but our work responsibilities get in the way, and suddenly we don't have the time that we thought that we would have for ourselves. Now, many of us in ourselves first, but few of us actually live it. And Stephen Covey, he wrote the book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and he also wrote the book, Put First Things First. And he said in this book that, you know, he went back and interviewed these successful business owners, professionals, and surveyed them to find out which of the 7 habits of highly effective people were they struggling with. And he said the number one thing that people told him, the number one challenge they were having, was putting first things first. So once again, what does that mean? It's the things that are that we really value, that are a priority to us in our lives. For many of us, we really do value our businesses and our careers, but it's not the only thing in our life that we value. So this is a national struggle, and it's not unique to entrepreneurs and successful business that I want to share from a blog that I went to and was doing some research on for this call. And this is a blog called Feld Thought. And it's written by a man named Brad Feld. And he says, the challenge of work-life balance is a central theme for many people, especially entrepreneurs. It took me 15 years, a failed first marriage, and my current wife, Amy, almost calling it quits, for me to realize that I had to figure out what work-life balance. I can comfortably say that I have a major clue and my life is dramatically better for it. I started my first company when I was 19. I was obsessive, worked incredibly hard, and while I generally had a lot of fun, I was almost always maxed out. During this time, I was successful at the work I did. I created a company which was acquired by a public company. However, until 5 years ago, I had absolutely no balance in my life, exhausted at the end of the day on Friday. I drank too much, struggled with my weight, and I felt physically crappy. I loved my work, but I could not see past it. And then he goes on to say how his wife told him, you know, this is it. I'm done. I can't take this anymore. I'm not mad. You just have to change or it's over. And that was his wake-up call. He said that they spent most of the weekend talking about what change meant. And he knew that this wasn't a warning. And after the weekend, they had created a set of well-defined rules that have evolved over time. And I'll mention, well, actually, I'll mention what those rules are here in a few minutes of them. So that was his wake-up call. Now, some of us get our wake-up call in the form of, you know, maybe something happens to our child, one of our children who's in school. Maybe they're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Maybe they end up taking drugs, and or, you know, maybe we receive our wake-up call in the form of a bad disease or cancer or a heart attack. And then there are those of us that don't receive this dramatic wake-up call, right? Life day by day, wondering where the day went and feeling frustrated that we didn't do all the things that we wanted to do, and depressed that it didn't seem like we actually got to have the fun that we wanted in our day or the connection with the people. We kind of go through life in a haze or in a daze. And a colleague of mine was telling me the other day, I think this is a great example of this, she said that she does feel like that she gets by in a daze. And she told me that all of a sudden she realized, you know, she was driving around, and she looked around, and she realized it's spring. And she had... So Fortune magazine, a couple of years ago, wrote a cover article about this very issue, work-life balance issues. And they surveyed male executives. And the survey said 84% of these men that they had interviewed or surveyed said that they would like their job to give them more time outside of work. 55% said that they were willing to sacrifice income. And 50% wonder if the sacrifices that they've made in their career are even worth it. But here's the encouragement. Believe that it's possible to restructure their job in ways that would increase productivity and make more time available out of the office. So that's encouraging. 73% believe that that's possible. In this article, they also interviewed a CEO of a major corporation, and she said, she made this very insightful comment. She says, much time. Would you really exhaust all the things that you should be doing? No. We have created jobs that are literally impossible to complete within a normal work schedule. So many of us with our to-do list, we write them at the beginning of the week, or maybe we don't even write a to-do list at all. But we look at it and it's like, okay, you know, is this real? And with ourselves at the end of the week when we haven't completed perhaps even half the things that we put on the list. And there's a wonderful saying which a colleague of mine shared with me about a month ago, and I've since come across in several books. And this thing is, we overestimate what we can do in a week, and we underestimate what we can accomplish in a year. So the bottom line is, we create these huge to-do lists that aren't realistic. And our list the next week, and take the things that we didn't get accomplished, put them at the top of the list, and work on achieving those, you know, that gradually we get through all the things that we want to do, perhaps not in the time that we had projected or wished for, but we do eventually get through our list. So that's just a little aside there. I was on that, and it's like, you know, we're all familiar with that, but it was just really refreshing to hear her mention that again, and it was a good reminder. We overestimate what we can accomplish in a week and underestimate what we can achieve in a year. So what are the solutions then? What are the solutions? You know, this is such a common issue that all of us struggle with. And you know, why? How does this even tie into financial success? And, well, the way that it ties in to financial success is because, as I mentioned in the very beginning of this call, if we're pushing ourselves and we're feeling drained, then we're not offering everything it is, all the things that are possible for us to offer our businesses and our relationships. If we're not showing up for our careers or our businesses in a fresh way, then we are not doing everything we can within our power to create a successful business. Many of us are driven. And what kind of mindset is, you know, does that provide, you know, if we're feeling driven? How does that affect our businesses? So we need to stop and come from a more clear, grounded space. Now, how do we do that? There's three solutions. The first, number one, redefine what success means to you. I love this. Redefine what success means to you. Many of us in our heads, we've figured out what our ideal income is, you know, six-digit income, and how much we're going to, you know, what we're going to achieve this year. You know, we're going to make those six digits. And we have sales are like, what our paycheck looks like. But what is it that a successful life really means to us individually, not what society tells us? So in order to know that, we have to take some time out to be quiet and really get in touch with what matters to us. So what are the things that matter? Well, you can start by looking at what are the things that you value in your life. And when I say values, I mean, what are the things that you deeply, deeply care about? What are the things that drive and inspire us? So for many people, let me give you an example of some values. Values for them are things like family, marriage, financial freedom, their careers, spirituality, health, fun and adventure. Those are some examples of values, but you have to discern what your own values are for yourself. So I recommend that you come up with about five values. Just list them out. You know, if you could have this ideal life, what five values would you be on a weekly, daily, or monthly basis? That's step one. Step two is rank yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, if you are truly integrating that value into your life. So let's say, for example, that you value health. Ask yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10, am I really living this value in my life? With 10 being the highest, what kind of grade would I give myself? Good feedback. Anytime you can measure something, then you can create change. So you decide the next day. Maybe you do this once a week or, you know, in the evening before you go to bed. And a week later or the next day, you ask yourself at the end of the day, okay, how did I do on my value of health, my top five values? Let's start with health. How did I do today? Well, maybe you got out and exercised that day. So scale of 1 to 10. You know what? I did pretty good today. I'll give myself a 7. That's how you rank yourself. Step outside of work because or perhaps it is work, and that's okay. And ask yourself, what simple thing could you do to integrate that value into your life on a daily basis? So think of something simple. And also think of the value that is going to make the biggest difference for you. If you were to integrate this value, let's use a different example. Maybe it's more self-time. If you were to integrate this number one value in your life, and you've decided that it's, you know, self-time, having more time for yourself, how would you be the one that's going to have the greatest impact? And you decide, well, if I had more self-time, then I would come, I would feel more relaxed, I would feel more happy with my life, and I'd be able to really show up for my customers and my businesses and my business. And I want more self time. So think about one very simple thing that you could do to integrate that value into your life on a daily basis. It doesn't have to be something grandiose, okay? Just something very simple. I'll just give myself 5 minutes in the morning, maybe 10 minutes, and I'll journal a little bit, and I'll sip my coffee or sip my tea and just quietly reflect. That's a start. So just start small, grow tall. That's what I always tell my clients. So those are the three simple solutions. One, redefine what success means to you, and list your top five values. Number two, rank yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, if you are integrating that about how am I doing, give yourself a report card. Number three, take your highest value, the one that could have the greatest impact on your life this year, and ask yourself what one simple thing you could do to start integrating that into your life on a daily basis. All right, so now, you know, those are some very, very simple things that you can do, and they can be very effective. Let me just close here by sharing a story about a Microsoft executive, and he has his own personal blog as well, and he has this story about Kimmo's rules. He describes on this blog that he was on a rafting trip to the Grand Canyon. And on the bottom of a cook table that they had during this rafting trip were listed these five rules by a person named Kimmo. He has no idea who they are, but they were very inspiring for them. So I'll share them with you today. One, never judge a day by its weather. Two, tell the truth. There's less to remember. Three, speak softly and wear a loud shirt. I like that one. I was sharing these five rules, and they just burst out laughing. And it was funny because prior to the presentation, they had had a couple of people stand up that had on very bright shirts, and it had been snowing. And there was like three people that had on these brightly colored shirts. And so it was funny. They had made an example of this prior to my presentation. So number three, speak softly and wear a loud shirt. Four, he who dies with the most toys still dies. And five, the best things in life aren't things. So that brings us full circle to the opening lines of my call today, which is, days that begin with rowing on the lake are better than days that do not. And a man's character determines his fate. Our character determines our own fate. So we can develop to investing in ourselves first and getting a life outside of our business. In our careers. And when we do that, we are more apt to leave a legacy in terms of our businesses and impacting the lives of those we love, showing up for ourselves and others, not just when we have the time, but when they need us. We can determine our own fate. So thank you so much for joining me on today's call, first three Tuesdays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So I hope all of you live and love richly today, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you. Take care.